supposed to be doing in Philippians in chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, Paul is building a crescendo. Paul has taken the incomparable life of my Savior and laid it out as a humiliation and as an exaltation. He then takes Timothy, says lots of nice things about Timothy. Epaphroditus, he says lots of nice things about Epaphroditus. And then he says a lot of nice things about himself, only to count them all as dumb.
Yeah.
He'd rather have knowledge of the resurrection of Christ than he would all those virtues that he can extol about his own person. He, then, is teaching me something, that all of the accolades and all of the nice things that I might have certificated and hanging on the wall, I need to count it as dumb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That my real value that has eternal consequences is in Christ. I can't be as Christ, but Christ placed me into the body of Christ.
Yeah.
I can't be deity. I can't live without sin. Yet I'm to take in this mind, this mindset, this understanding. And so we pick up in Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. What do we plead more than our own righteousness?
Mm. Yeah.
Every time our feelings get hurt, we trot out, well, I didn't deserve that because of this, because of that, because of something else. Every time you get passed over for a job, well, I deserved it because of this. Because, you know, we trot out our own righteousness. We are experts on our own resume. Mm-hmm. Are we not? He would rather count that but loss, verse 8, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, righteousness of the law is well demonstrated by comparing, and I've shown you these verses so many times, your Bible probably has worn spots in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Romans chapter 10, because those are delightful verses to simply compare that Israel had righteous standing by performing the law. And that's what Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 24 and 25 plainly says. Paul says that's how it was, Romans chapter 10 verse 5, but Romans chapter 10 verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake. So, people with the Ten Commandments out in their yard might need to know that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake. The Christians who are defending putting the Ten Commandments up in the courthouse and all of that kind of stuff, that of itself, is that a bad thing? No, our legal system is largely based on, comes out of Mosaic principles and goes back to that. A couple of things in Moses' law would hurt to be reinstated. Restitution, 4 for 1. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Somebody knocks over your business, they pay you back 4 times what they took.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I like that one.
Yes.
I got robbed at gunpoint a couple of times. I'd have loved to have him pay me back 4 times what he took. Didn't think all that much, but it would have been a good lesson for both of us. The fact that, yes, the law is part of our jurisprudence system and part of what's available for people to base their system upon, that's a given. We understand that. My concern when I see the evangelical Christian trotting out the Ten Commandments or defending it over by the library and all that kind of stuff is that they're looking to that law as a source of their righteousness, as a source of their performance. As well, you know, we keep the Ten Commandments at our house. The first day you do that will be the first day you do that. You've coveted for something just about every day of your life.
Oh,
it's called advertising.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. You've got to get me one of those. And, you know, the old saying is, I didn't know I had yellow teeth until Pepsi became yellow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And saying, you'll wonder where the yellow went. Oh, I need to get rid of that.
Yeah.
Why
Listerine invented a word. Halitosis is not a word.
That's right.
Listerine invented a word.
Yeah.
Just like Kodak worked at in finding a word that wasn't like any other word. Had to be unique. Well, I'm getting off track. The orientation of self-righteousness dies at the cross. Wow. Paul wants to know, verse 10, the power of his resurrection. Verse 9, not my own righteousness, the righteousness which is of God. For me to know the power of his resurrection, what has to happen? I got to die.
Right.
For me to know the power of his resurrection, I need to, Romans chapter 6, verse 11, reckon myself indeed dead.
Yes. Yes.
Romans 6 comes before 7, because in 7 you're freed from the law. We can't free us from the law until we're dead first. And in Romans chapter 6, we are, verse 3, baptized into his death. Whereby, therefore, we are baptized, buried with him by baptism into, verse 4, death. We've been planted together in the likeness of his, verse 5, death. Romans chapter 6, verse 11, reckon yourself indeed to be dead. I think he's telling me something here. And so I'm to reckon myself indeed, the old man died. What's the downside exactly? Other than our pride and our ego, our resume that we're constantly building. And the new man being Christ, our life now is hid with him in God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, am I not right?
Yeah.
So the mind of Christ, to know the knowledge of his resurrection, requires judicial death to the old man. What's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? Teach us. It's no longer our life, but his. Okay? Look at it. It's a hard verse to memorize. And I've never been good at it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. You don't have crucified people?
They're dead.
They don't move around a lot. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. There's the key. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's all about him.
Right.
So, verse 10 is scary, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. To get there, I have to die.
Yes.
The old man, his priorities, his ungodly, selfish orientation needs to be crucified with Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Romans chapter 6, verses 3, 4, and 5. Crucifixion hurts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ouchie.
Yeah.
The old man has a bad day. The old man doesn't like to have a bad day. He will kick and scream to maintain his position. You're going to have to fight him from the day of your salvation to the day that you're put in a box and dropped into the ground. You're going to have to fight every day. Paul talks about the war in his own members.
Yep.
The good that I would, I do not. That I would not, that I do. Who shall deliver me from the body of this flesh?
That's right.
That's Paul.
That's right.
What Paul says in Romans 7 is so stout. The Wesleyan Holiness Commentary say Paul wasn't saved when he wrote it. See, they have second blessing sanctification where they only have one major.
Yeah.
Paul knows you've got this fight going on. He's fighting the good fight of faith.
Right.
If you think you have second blessing sanctified and can't sin any longer, don't sin any longer. You can justify a lot of bad behavior.
Yes.
My God told me to do that. Isn't it interesting that it is the holiness people that have produced the guys that show up at the no-tell motel?
Yes.
Jimmy Swaggart's holiness, Jimmy Baker's holiness. Well, I need to parenthetically deal with a short problem, a little issue. It's not a short problem. The problem is something that needs looked at, and that is the phrase, faith of Christ, which you see in verse 9. Faith of Christ is being taught by some folks as Christ having faith. Which begs the question, in what?
Yes.
If he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, what's lacking that he would have to have faith? Now, if you make Christ ignorant in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as does Pastor Jordan and his followers, Christ dependent upon what God tells him, Pastor Jordan said in his message, even today, then you've got a Christ who's, as the New American Standard presents him in John chapter 1, verse 18, a begotten, a lesser God. Mm-hmm. If he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, faith in something external apart from the fullness of the Godhead bodily would be faith in what exactly? I mean, what is there? So, it's an issue. Only if you are leaning toward the diminution of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not an issue if you see him as he's declared to be, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He, we saw in Philippians, humbled himself. The fact that he's humbled, the fact that he takes a position lower than the angels, would only require Christ to have faith in the Father, or faith in the Bible, or faith in the Holy Ghost, if he were not, at the same time he's humbled, the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yes.
So that's the issue that Pastor Jordan had brought from liberal Lutheranism and put right into the middle of the grace movement.
Shameful.
I'm going to tell you, it's a whole lot easier.
You're wrong.
Oh, I'm wrong.
Mike.
I'm going to tell you, it is a whole lot easier. Thank you. I'm going to tell you, it is a whole lot easier to understand Christ as the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yes.
There are no externals he's reaching out to have faith in. Who is the Word?
Christ.
Who is the incarnate Word?
Christ.
Who is the great I Am?
Christ.
Before Abraham was, Jesus says, I Am.
Yes.
You know, modern people don't understand what he was saying, but those on the scene fell on the ground.
Yes, they did.
Why did they fall on the ground? Was his breath that bad?
No.
He said, he's the I Am.
That's right.
That's Jehovah. I am that I am. And boom! They fell on the ground. The Holy Ghost didn't knock them down. It had been him leading.
No.
The faith of Christ. You sing the song. I think Luther wrote it. Faith of our fathers burning bright. Faith of Christ is a body of data. The faith of Christ. I'm a Christian. It is the information that constitutes Christianity's doctrine, the faith of Christ. Note in Romans chapter 3, in verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. If you make that Jesus having faith outside himself, the verse doesn't make any sense. It can't read. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. By Christian belief. By the doctrines of the revelation of mystery. That's how justification is. The verse isn't that we're justified by Jesus having faith in something else.
No.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the doctrines and truths associated with the gospel, the grace of God, and the revelation of the mystery in my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith of Christ. I'm going to say that's what it's all about. As simple as that. Having said that, I'm going to say that leaves me with the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yeah.
Where the other approach doesn't.
Yes.
In Galatians chapter 3, but the scripture, verse 22, hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Christ might be given to them to believe. By faith of Christ. You and I might write it by the faith of Christ. You put the article there. The issue, if you make it Jesus having faith, putting the promise in place, then makes you a 5-point Calvinist and you're stuck. Because it's by the faith of Christ that something happens. If he doesn't have the faith in Christ, then you're predestined not to get it.
That's right.
So, when you throw a rock into Opie's walking down the stream bed and Andy's whistling, and Opie throws that rock, you know, that rock hit the water just like that, but the ripples went for a long, long time.
Yes.
When you throw a doctrinal rock and don't know what ripples you're creating, maybe you hadn't ought to throw so many stones.
Yes.
Maybe you ought to study a little bit more and see the lay of the pond a little better and see what the deal is, because if making the faith of Christ, Christ having faith outside himself, diminishes Christ, and it does. Or, if faith of Christ means Christ actuating and activating, making me a Calvinist, which it does, then I need plan C. And for the faith of Christ to be simply the demonstration of the totality of the doctrine. So when Paul talks about in verse 9 of Philippians chapter 3, through the faith of Christ, I'm saved, secure, serving, and headed for heaven because of the faith of Christ. And by that, I mean the doctrines and truths I've learned from this doctrine according to the revelation of the mystery that I've gotten from my Bible.
Yeah.
I don't mean that Jesus is out there having faith, causing me to do this or that, guaranteeing me this or that, because Jesus has faith in what? Without him was not anything made that was made. Then where does he go? So, some of these issues being raised by the brethren, I don't like ascribing motives, because it's hard to be right when you try to ascribe motives to other people, but I think when you've got this little bitty aquarium, and you've got three guppies swimming around in this little bitty aquarium, one of the guppies eats the other two guppies and gets to be the big guppy. I think the grace movement is this little bitty aquarium.
Yeah.
There are no sharks. There are no big fishes. It's
no.
A little bitty thing.
That's it.
We've got several guppies swimming around. They each want to be the big guppy.
Yes, they do.
So what can I introduce to make me the big guppy? No, it is small wonder to me after all these years. The first time I preached up in Chicago at Richard's Church, I said, you call this the grace movement, somebody needs to throw a stick on the ground because it's moving so slow I can't tell which way it's going. After all these years and upon reflection, I can see why nobody pays much attention to us, because for the most part, we don't have much to say.
That's it.
Signs and wonders are gone, but God's going to give me a blessing. Page one of the Green Searchlight this week.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't need them to call us whack jobs. We do it all by ourselves.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
So, I don't have a problem with the faith of Christ issue.
No.
And I don't make of it what some people in the grace movement are making of it. Now, we're all going to come to the unity of the faith, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. I'm going to call that the fullness of Christ, the faith of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, they use the office of the deacon, well, purge themselves a good degree, great boldness in faith, which is in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm going to call that faith of Christ. It's just different ways of saying the same thing, as far as I'm concerned. Now, Paul talks about winning Christ. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is in God by faith. Verse 8 ends, that I may win Christ. It's not performance salvation that he's referring to. This is the same man wanting to, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, learn the mind of Christ to gain the knowledge of his resurrection. So, it's not that Paul is endeavoring to earn anything. He's working, he's learning, he's growing, that he then can enjoy the fellowship of sufferings. Enjoy sounds like a funny word there, but it is something he needs to do. That he can know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, verse 10, and be made conformable unto his death. Doesn't look like a happy verse, does it, based on our earthly perspective? But we're not supposed to have the earthly perspective, are we? I mean, the reason verse 10 looks like a downer to us demonstrates, to whatever degree it looks like, oh, that's bad news there. I don't like anything that's in verse 10. That just tells you how in the flesh we are. The Galatians 2:20 is a slogan and not a reality.
Yeah.
I like to sign letters and emails by saying, you know, press on for the mark of the high calling. Well, you know, to press on, you have to start.
Yes.
You can't just be standing there or sitting there. Pressing involves getting up and putting your shoulder to it. So, press on. For some folks, that would be turning off the TV, getting up, and actually pressing for the first time.
Yeah.
Now, being found in Christ, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, that I may win Christ, I need to learn how to count all things but dung. I need to be interested in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and being conformable unto his death.
Yeah.
That verse just goes straight downhill, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just bad to worse in that verse. And not there's, do you mark verses with smiley faces or frowny faces? That one gets three frowny faces.
Yeah.
On a scale of three, it gets three. So it's hard for us. What is he told me not to be learning? The mind of Christ. I'm to be maturing. I'm to be looking at, he gave me five verses about my Savior. His humiliation, then his exaltation.
Yes.
Paul gives me a couple of verses about Paul's exaltation and counting it but done. What we value is the opposite of what we ought to.
Yes.
That's hard. That's hard. The misunderstanding of these kinds of things are what puts men in monasteries. Taking a vow of silence, and oh, I'm not going to eat till dinner. And I like the Muslim fast. You still get to eat every day, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the fellowship of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings, so along comes self-flagellation.
Yeah.
They're bragging on the Pope that they want to beatify and make a saint, that he participated in self-flagellation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You take a whip to your own back and draw your own blood. A person in the 20th century doing that?
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead.
Paul's a saved man. Paul, he doesn't care if he lives or dies. He's already covered that with us. Living as a resurrected dead man. That's the power of Christ's resurrection. That's the fellowship of his sufferings. That's conformable to his death. When people attack Paul because he was a persecutor, because he was a blasphemer, he's living as a resurrected dead man. You can pin those crimes on Saul of Tarsus, but not on a resurrected dead man.
That's right.
Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching for those things which are before, we press on for the mark of the high calling of God. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many of us saved people never amount to much for the Lord because we don't think we're worthy, because we're operating with guilt from our unsaved days?
Yes.
That's not the fellowship of his resurrection. That's not the knowledge of the new creature.
Right.
The devil is the accuser of the brethren.
Yes.
And he gets a lot of help from the brethren accusing the brethren.
Yes.
What gets trotted out is, let he who's without guilt throw the first stone, and that point being everybody's guilty. Mm-hmm. But where that goes is, well, then nobody does anything, and we all just put up with everything. But that's not the fellowship of the suffering. That's not the fellowship of the resurrection. That's not the new creature. So it's not that you continue in your humiliation. Christ was humiliated and emptied himself. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. Boy, strike that from the idea. He humbled himself. We don't need any help to be humbled. We're good at messing up.
Yes.
The key now is reckon that and be dead.
Yes.
And walk in newness of life. So that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, then starts to mean something real to me. I'm learning about my death.
Yeah.
Not the day when I quit breathing, but that day 32 years ago when I was crucified with Christ and became a new creature.
Amen.
I'm learning to walk in the midst of life. I'm learning a little bit as the days go by. I'm learning it's not about me. The only thing that matters is Christ and him crucified.
Yes.
Soul saved, saints edified. Those are the agenda items. Now, it's hard. Paul talks about running a race. The only time race shows up in the Bible, you're supposed to run.
Yeah.
It's hard to run a race if you can't get all the starting blocks. Mm-hmm. I was the fastest kid on the playground. They put gym shorts on me and a shirt with my school letter on it. I'm still the fastest kid. They sat me in starting blocks and I was toast. I was so caught up in getting in the starting position and getting my feet right. Yeah. I forgot how to run.
Yeah.
The first time I started out of the blocks and the coach gave us, and I've seen four guys on this side and three guys on this side.
reason I could see them all because I was still in the blocks. They're out of the blocks. Now, I won. It took me 100 yards to beat them, but I beat them, and I held a high school record for that. It was 10.3, which back in the day was pretty good.
Yeah,
I
know.
Who knew how well they timed them? And I seen the Olympic times back in the day, and I was not that good. But at any rate, to run, you got to get out of the box.
Yes, you do.
To press, you have to get up out of the chair and put your arm against something to get engaged. By God's grace, I've done that. Not to everybody's satisfaction, certainly not to mine. If Peter Cartwright rode his horse into town, I'd go listen to him. He's a Methodist. He taught a lot of goofy things in his old Methodism. But I have such respect for that man, his character, and his yeah. integrity as a man, and his courage.
Yes.
If he was out there right now, I'd quit talking, go out there and listen to him.
Yeah.
But he's not. We're stuck with us guys.
Yes, we are.
So we need to do the best we can.
Yes.
I'll learn a little bit about that. I'd like it if it were better. I think the best thing that could happen to Mid-Ax Pauline Dispensational Right Division is to have someone with the integrity and quality of character. I can teach anybody the material. I can't teach them integrity and quality of character. I have somebody with the integrity and quality of character that takes the material and gets on 400 radio stations, you can turn the world upside down inside of 6 months.
Yes.
When they told me what they were going to do with my radio broadcast down in Chattanooga, I said to Carol, we're going to be on the Chattanooga inside of a year.
Yeah.
It didn't take a year. We were the talk of the town on the radio station. Where did you get this guy? Because the message is that good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We can do that on 400 radio stations. We have this world topsy-turvy.
Yeah.
We don't speak with one voice. You listen to Mid-Ax Pauline Dispensationalism, it's rather like a magpie's nest. Well, for me to understand the resurrection, I have to understand my death. I'm breathing. It pinch me, it goes out. So, I have to understand the positional death that I need to take. See, Christ took a position. He wasn't simply a man. He wasn't ignorant of who he was. He's the fullness of the Godhead body, and he humbles himself. He takes a position even to the death of the cross, the curse, the death of the cross. I need to learn what it means to take a position. Be crucified. Being dead to myself and alive to Christ. I need to understand Christianity is not, as David Otis Fuller wrote to me in a half dozen different letters, flowery beds of ease.
Yeah.
We say we're in a war, but we don't want to fight.
Yeah.
Help me out with that. I watch our young people over there in other countries. They're being shot at,
yeah.
bombed. These IED, these explosive devices in trucks along the way. We shoot back. Oh, we killed a civilian. Huh? They could have left town a long time ago, honey. You shoot at our guys, they get to shoot back. How do I participate in an intellectual battle that involves eternal consequences? Do I get my dictionary of flowery words? Do I go to Norman Vincent Peale's school of how to influence people?
Or do I preach Christ and Him crucified?
Preach.
And let the results be what they are.
Preach.
So that's what I mean to learn. That's what's being drilled into me now by the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter 3, he's telling me some things that I need to become conformable to, some things that I need to understand. And my focus in all of this, you know, I go back to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I need to get smarter, but I got no way to get more IQ points. So I'm studying concepts that are beyond me, borne witness to by God's Word and God's Spirit, and I'm trying to internalize these concepts.
Yes.
In a body of flesh that needs to be reckoned dead.
Yes.
See the fight we got going on? With ourselves, as well as all the external influences on our lives. So verse 7, the things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Very short verse, very easy to read. The first day I do that will be the first day I do that. Huh? How about you? Am I the only one willing to say that?
Yeah.
True.
I mean, we struggle with it, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
All the stuff that you count gain, honey, you still count it gain.
Yeah, shame on us.
I kid people and say if all the duct tape in America dissolved, there'd be no America. Everything's held together by duct tape. If all the duct tape in your life dissolved, all your awards, all your money, all your 401k, if it all disappeared, could you just count it all lost? Not care? So we have trouble with the machinations of life and keeping a proper balance, don't we? What things were gained to me, those I counted lost or right. Everything that I've got, I'm willing to give in service to the Lord. That verse is what motivated, on a practical level, Harold and I to go talk to our lawyer, and whatever's left, it's all going to service to the Lord. Uncle Sam's got quite enough already.
Yes.
He's about to cap and trade me down to submission. I need to understand the resurrection before I'm physically dead.
Yep.
See the problem? See the concept? Now, Ephesians 3, a little quick. And from Ephesians, we're going to be going to Job 38. Maybe we should go to Job 38 first. If you haven't read Henry Morris's commentary on Job yet, you might want to. I wouldn't put it on the top shelf of my library, but it'd be in the library. Henry Morris's commentary on Job. Job 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. How, by the way, did
Elijah
go up?
A whirlwind.
He didn't go up in a chariot. He went up in a whirlwind. I don't care what the spiritual says. That's the problem with an oral tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Get stuff in there that might not be right. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Question after question. There's more than 40 questions in Job 38 and 39 that nobody can answer to this day, pretty much. Here's the beauty that you and I have as we learn the mind of Christ. and that is in Ephesians in chapter 3, in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend all the stuff that Job didn't get. May be able to comprehend with the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. How can you know what passes knowledge? I'm going to have to learn some things that aren't natural to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to learn about a resurrected life when I'm not dead yet. I'm going to have to learn about suffering when all my body life is to be 52. Can I get this book?
Yeah.
Hmm? I'm going to have to learn to be conformable to death. Wow. So, I'm not trying to teach asceticism.
No.
I'm not trying to teach monasticism. But I am trying to say, you don't take your Christian life and add it like a frosting to what you were already doing.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You need to change the cake.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We'll stop there. Amen. Good stuff. Good material. It's really hard to get your head around some of it. My head around some of it. Amen.